"Good night, stars. Good night, air. Good night, noises everywhere," said the old lady to the little rabbit. "Wait a second, that's not how the story goes." But apparently there was an earlier version of the children's classic Goodnight Moon, which reporter Alexandra Starr reveals. She takes us down, deep down, into the Curlin collection at the University of Minnesota, where the veil is lifted on thousands of children's classics.
The Curlin collection is 83 feet underground by elevator.
So it's cold down here.
Yeah, put on that sweater. Do that.
That's my tour guide, Lisa von Drasek. She's the curator here. She says there's a reason it's 55 degrees.
This is the temperature that is perfect for books and paper.
The Curlin houses more than 100,000 books, including the novels of Katie Camillo, who's also with us. She wrote the classic Because of Winn-Dixie and has won the Newbery Medal twice.
It's very Raiders of the Lost Ark-y down here.
The room does look like that final warehouse scene in that movie. The space is bigger than two football fields, and it's filled with shelves. On those shelves are files with familiar labels. Arnold Lobel's Frog and Toad Are Friends, Maurice Sendak's Where the Wild Things Are.
There is Clement Hurd, who illustrated Goodnight Moon.
It's all here because of a man named Irwin Curlin. He was a doctor and University of Minnesota graduate. His passion, though, was children's books. He started collecting first editions in the 1940s. Then, as von Drasek explains, he became friends with the authors and illustrators.
He would go on studio visits, and he noticed that they were throwing away manuscripts and original art. "I have letters and letters. Please don't throw anything out. Just send it to me. Here's a self-addressed stamped envelope."
The result is 12,000 early drafts, and counting. Upstairs, von Drasek shows us the preliminary drawings for Goodnight Moon.
So this is the great green room, the old lady whispering hush. This is a draft. It says so at the top. And the old lady is an old lady. She's not an old rabbit lady. She's an old lady. So you see how that transforms to the finished book.
This is something you see a lot at the Curlin. Authors will discard characters and add new ones. Sketches can change radically over 15 drafts. DiCamillo says those alterations basically document the creative process.
That's the part that really grabs me. You can come in here and see how people work, and you also start to see that it's work.
Which makes the library a valuable teaching tool. The Curlin is open to anyone. Mary Rockcastle, the director of creative writing programs at Hamline University in Minnesota, takes students every year.
It illuminates the process and it demystifies it. When they see how many times someone of the caliber of a Kate DiCamillo revises, they realize you must change it to get better and better.
All of DiCamillo's manuscripts are at the Curlin. She feels a little abashed about that.
It's like people looking at my dirty underwear.
But she feels it's important. She hopes making her drafts available will give encouragement to the fourth grader who dreams of publishing a book, or the lawyer with a novel in her desk drawer. There's a message in those drafts. It's the old saying, the essence of writing is rewriting. For NPR News, I'm Alexandra Starr.